When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs.
Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals.
Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers.
Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you.
I'd love to tell you a story about a radioactive cat.
Sweet. So, I already like where this is going.
Is this Catwoman's origin story?
Yeah, possibly. The jury's still out. So we have a dog and a cat. We have a dog named Brunch and a cat named Bill. And Bill is about 13 years old. And for the last, let's say, six-ish months, he had been acting differently. He was eating Brunch's dog food, and then he was throwing up, and we were like, oh, it's because he's eating the dog food. He's not supposed to eat the dog food. So we'd give Brunch his food, and then when Brunch would be done eating, we'd pick up the bowl so that there wasn't just extra pieces of food in the bowl sitting out all day. And he was consistently waking us up multiple times at night to eat and just generally being kind of obnoxious. And then one day my mom came over and she goes, oh my gosh, Bill has lost so much weight. Now, Bill is a huge cat, like
Bill's a big
30
cat.
Pounds big, okay? Massive. So he can lose some weight and you don't really notice it because, well, he's a chonk and I love it. And so my mom goes, wow, he's lost a lot of weight. And I was like, oh, do you think so? I go, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess maybe he has lost weight. So I said, Jensen, you need to bring him into the vet. So he does. He brings him into the vet. Turns out he has hyperthyroidism. And that means he's got a little tumor on his thyroid and it's making him hungry all the time and it's making him agitated. And it's also what's causing him to be throwing up. It wasn't necessarily the dog food. So we said, okay, so what are our options? And they said, well, there's a medication you can give him. It's one pill twice a day. And if it works, it'll be great. He'll feel better. And we were like, okay, that sounds great. So we get this medication. Jensen starts giving it to him morning and night. And wouldn't you know it, it works. Bill stops throwing up. He's feeling really good. He's gaining weight. He's just great. And then
science.
I swear it happened overnight.
Oh no.
We look down at him one morning and he is just covered in blood blisters.
Oh.
Just hair missing, bloody, huge blisters full of blood everywhere.
Oh, geez.
And he doesn't seem to be bothered by them at all. He's not itching. He's not acting any different. But we're like, oh my gosh, this is terrifying.
Zombie cat.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. So Jensen takes him back into the vet and they go, I hate to tell you this. I know it's working in every other way, but he's having an allergic reaction to the medication and you have to stop the medication. And so we say, so what are our options? And they said, well, not treating it at all, which means you don't know how long he's going to live. It's right. also kind of an uncomfortable, painful situation because he will basically, it'll feel to him like he's starving to death. He's going to be hungry all the time and he's going to continue to throw up. And, you know, that's your one option, not treating it. And he just dies or you put him under. Or for the low, low price of $3,000, you can send him to another vet, a doctor in LA, where they will give him one, it's like a radioisotope treatment. They inject him with something that's radioactive, and that radioactive business attacks the tumor in the thyroid, and with 99.99% efficiency, it will kill the tumor, and he will no longer have hyperthyroidism. And then he will just live for however long he's going to live, but hyperthyroidism will not be a factor in it. It's just gone. And I hear this and I go, so what exactly do they do? You send him there, they give him this treatment, they keep him for a week because he's literally radioactive after and he can't be around you. So we keep him for a week. And I go, okay. And it's, wow, it's $3,000. I said, okay, well, you know, I think it's worth it. We have the $3,000. We're in a blessed position to be able to pay that for our cat. Let's do it. Sounds great. We send him. We get daily updates. We're getting pictures, videos of him. Oh, he seems to be doing great. He's, you know, he's going to be feeling so much better after this. He's going to be less irritated too, because Bill's kind of a jerk. And they're like, he's going to be less of a jerk after this. The tumors are irritating him. Jensen goes to pick him up after a week away. And I'm so excited. Yay, Bill's coming home. I'm telling the kids, Bill's coming back today. Jensen picks him up and they go, okay, great. So now the last thing for you to know is that for the next 12 days, no one is allowed to be closer to Bill than an arm's distance length away from him, except for 1 hour a day.
Because he's radioactive?
He's still
radioactive cat. Okay.
So for 1 hour a day, you can cuddle with your cat. The rest of the day, for 12 days, you have to stay arm's distance or more away from him. And then every day, you have to clean the poop from his cat litter box and discard it in one of those big paint cans with a lid. You have to put the poop in there every day for 12 days because the poop is radioactive. And then at the end of those 12 days, you have to store that poop for 3 months at your house because you cannot throw away radioactive poop. Apparently, Jensen then had to know all the details. Why? Well, it causes the Geiger counters to go off at the trash dump. They test for radioactivity and trash trucks have like a 2-block radius. And so if the truck goes off, they then go search for 2 weeks. They send a special unit out to that 2-block radius, investigate who has a cat, whose radioactive poop is this? And they will fine you $7,000 for sending radioactive poop to the dump. So, anyway, I'm the proud owner of a no longer radioactive cat. We've been through the 12 days of hell. I am now the proud owner of 12 days worth of radioactive poop. It's living on my property. It says do not discard until June 23rd or whatever it is. And for the low, low price of $3,000, Bill's great. Wow. So science, right?
I have so many jokes going through my head.
Yeah, I know.
About so much of the story. That I'm overwhelmed.
I was wondering who was going to jump in. That, you know, I saw radioactive poop at Coachella once. They were great.
I mean, I have so many, from Blood Blister Cat to radioactive poop to I store my own poop that way. I have so many jokes.
Don't know where to begin.
That I'm overwhelmed. I'm literally overwhelmed.
Just take notes and you can deliver them to me at the end of the
episode. I'm just going to start. I'll start texting 10.
As our next pre-show chatter.
Exactly.
You take this material and digest it.
Because it is unlike the poop, which you can't digest for 2 weeks.
That's exactly right. You'll get fined.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let that ruminate. I just, much like the poop in your garage.
Just wanted you to know how much we love our cat.
Yeah, that's a lot of, that's a commitment, man. God. That's,
also, did I tell you he's 13? He's yes, not like three.
No, no, exactly.
It's not a spring 13. Chicken. This is. No.
I grew up with a cat named Bill, by the way. Also had a cat named Bill.
Oh, was he ever radioactive?
He was not. I still have his poop, but that's just for personal use. But no, but it wasn't radioactive in any way. But that's just, you know, it's fun. Okay, one of the jokes is gone. Thanks. So cross that one off. Excellent.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. This week, we're excited to welcome a season four guest star who not only wowed us during our recent rewatch of An Affair to Forget, but is also the only person to have appeared on Boy Meets World and to punch Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I will be honest, it would have been cool if William Daniels got to do that, too. She is so badass that not only was she Sean's tough-as-nails and time-dominating girlfriend, Jennifer Bassett, on our show, she would later become the ginoid TX robot in the 2003 movie Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines, the former thief Taja in Mortal Kombat Conquest, an unholy mix of human and vampire as the title character in the film Blood Rain, and a criminal bounty hunter sent to Kazakhstan to rescue the first daughter from a blood-hungry warlord in Mercenaries.
She's done such cool stuff.
She has my career. Like, I know. Everything you've mentioned. If you also said she was a Jedi, that would have just been it. I mean, like, come on. So cool.
And as if that's not enough, she's in the new movie Darkness of Man alongside Jean-Claude Van Damme and Sticky Fingers from the rap group Onyx. All this to say, no matter how many karate classes Will and I take, she would beat us to a bloody pulp.
That's so true.
And not only would she reappear on Boy Meets World in season 5 as a ghost of girlfriends past for Sean, she'd also return for Girl Meets World as the same character, now as the surprise wife of Stuart Minkus, a rare Easter egg that was actually worth it in the reboot. And now we are happy to be reunited with the toughest student at John Adams High, an actor who has done it all. Welcome to Pod Meets World, Kristanna Loken.
Hey!
Hi. So good to see you.
Oh my gosh, it's so great to see you all.
So great to see you too. It's normally when we do these interviews, we're sometimes seeing people for the first time in like 25 or 27 or 30 years. But in this case, I was lucky enough to see you in Girl Meets World. So it doesn't feel like quite as long of a reunion for us, but so happy to have you here. Thank you for being
willing. I'm 25.
You're at 25 years. Yeah.
I'm a long time. Yeah, I'm a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking when I last saw you and Ryder, it was already 9 years ago. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Even that's almost a decade ago.
Right. Yeah.
So crazy. So as we just went through in your intro, we ran down all of the incredible hardcore roles that you have been able to step into over the past 20 years. I mean, you are a bona fide action movie legend, truly.
Aww, so that's sweet. Thank you.
With this in mind, do people ever bring up your role on Boy Meets World to you?
All the time.
Really?
All the time. Yep. I get feedback on Boy Meets World almost as often as some of the biggest projects that I've done. So, I mean, congrats to you guys for creating such a cult classic. And can I just tell you that I rewatched some of the episodes, you know, to just refresh my memory.
Yay.
And you guys rocked. Like, the show was awesome. I mean, I can see why it was such a hit. It was so cute. It was so well done. It was so heartwarming and funny and fun and playful and great life lessons. And, you know, it was just, it was really special. So,
well,
you know,
thank you for saying that. And thank you for watching some of the episodes. I know we asked you to watch your episode, which is just, it was, we were so dying good. Laughing.
One of
so
the best.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes of Boy ever. It's
ever.
So good.
Yep.
It was wild for me because I can't remember the last time that I've actually watched my early work. And to see young teenage Kristanna it was such a trip. I was like, wow, I really got a glimpse into myself at that age too, even though it was, you know, it was a character, but there was a reason why, you know, we get hired for these roles, right?
Right.
Like Kristana, the prowess, you know, it's just really
funny. Well, you were so confident. I mean, you were very, you commanded every scene you were in. You really felt just so much more in control than any of us did.
Which is hard to do as a guest star. I mean, we talked about it, we watched it. I was like, the confidence with which you came in and like, just take over this episode. It's the only way the episode works is because you are like, you know, and that's one of those things I'm sure our writers wrote. And then they're just like, how are we ever going to find somebody to fill these shoes? And you just nailed it. And the best part for me was watching it and realize you look like you were having fun too.
Yeah.
Like we all look like we're having fun. And I'm like, this was a good week. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. No, it was awesome. It was a really special time and it was great to reprise my role. Whatever it was, however, 15 plus. Yeah. No, like, I don't know, 20 years.
20, later. Close to 20 years later.
Yeah, yeah. And come back. That was such a trip. And you guys have done many different iterations of the show, right? Various different spinoffs.
Just Girl Meets World the only version. We're inching our way slowly to like elderly person's home meets world. We're eventually almost there.
Nursing home meets world. That's a good
nursing home. Exactly. Yeah. Do you remember auditioning for the role or did you have to audition?
You know, it's funny, Danielle, because I was thinking of that. I was like, what was the process for getting that role? And I seem to remember an audition. And but other than that, maybe it was just like they found like the one person who was tall enough and boisterous enough, as Ryder said, to fill the shoes. But it was just a good fit. I don't know.
It's perfect.
It was so great. So to recap for anyone who's unfamiliar, you played Ryder's girlfriend who so badly wanted him to stop hanging out with his real soulmate, Corey. Do you remember anything specific about taping the show that week or about rehearsals? Do you remember working specifically with Ryder?
Oh, of course. And, you know, the one thing that I was cracking up with the most was this kissing move that I
the hand,
like the arm, like who the hell did I think I was, like Don Juan or something? Like,
yes,
the arm move that was so like smooth and.
I'll bet you that was a note. That was a Michael Jacobs note. Like we need something, some kind of move to show you.
Oh, and then
time.
Like the nose thing, we're doing like this little like weird.
I don't know. I mean, it might have been a note, but it might have just been me because I've played a lot of, as you can see, then going forward in my career, physical roles. I mean, not just like, you know, like that type of physicality, but like really. So I do have a dance background. And so, you know, maybe that fluidity or something reminded me of a dance move or I don't know, but you know, no. And you guys were all so great and funny. I mean, I remember also too, like just sometimes trying to hold it together during this game because it was so funny. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
That was one of the funniest episodes we'd ever done. I mean, I think that's truly one of the funniest episodes we've ever done. Everybody bought into the premise. And so it just worked. Everything. Yeah.
You could hear the audience just increase the energy as it goes on. It's like, oh my God, once we get into the plot and the joke is there. Oh, it's just everything that you do is funny. Everything Danielle does. It's like, we just keep getting laughs. It's so good. It's rolling.
The writers were, it was so funny even from the table read. So every time we saw it on its feet, every run through, it was just this like, raucous laughter. So it was one of those weeks where we were just all bubbling with how funny what we were doing was.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Do you know, was that your first on-screen kiss?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm sorry to say, writer. Damn. It was not.
All right, check you off the list. I've been bragging about that for years, you know.
I was Kristana's first kiss.
You know. All right, fine.
The first Actually, my first kiss and was in my first audition for As the World Turns, which I thought, wow, this is so easy. Like, you go in my first audition, like, you get the job. Wow. I love this. I love acting, you know, little did I know.
So easy.
Sure luck. But it was, I went into the audition room with a group of the producers and my love interest, who was on the show at the time, who was Jason Biggs. And I didn't, you know, hey, I'm a farm girl from upstate New York, you know, I can hang. And in the middle of the audition, we're supposed to have this moment, but he like really goes for it in the
audition.
But anyway, so yeah, ended up getting that job. But yes, Jason Biggs and I laughed about that years later.
Wow. Oh, that's so I know I've never kissed in an audition.
You probably can't now, you know.
Exactly.
It's tough on Zoom. It's tough on Zoom to make out with people.
It's tough on Zoom. You're exactly right.
We would need the intimacy coordinator. And,
I think I have kissed during an audition.
Really?
Yeah. When you're at like the final stage, like if you're at a screen test or a chemistry read.
Yeah.
Are you sure you were at an audition, Ryder? This wasn't just some strange...
No, because, you know, I'm actually thinking it was with Christine Lakin, who I had already kissed for another job. And then also Abigail Spencer. It was down to the two of them and me and another actor for a movie. And I remember, we like actually made out for our screen test. Yeah.
That fits with what we know about you.
No, I didn't get the job. Christine got the job.
Oh, okay.
You made her look good. So there you go.
There you go.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
As a podcast focus on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation.
First steps or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S. and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world.
Now, Kristana, you had already been on Unhappily Ever After and Just Shoot Me. Did you like doing single camera work?
You mean going from like sitcom kind of setup?
Exactly.
To, yeah. Yes. And actually, I had done other like independent films and such single camera before. But I came to LA really with, it was like that dollar and a dream kind of story where I had done some work in New York City. And then I had, they took me from New York and they brought me to LA to screen test for Unhappily Ever After. Mm-hmm. And that's when I ended up getting the job and staying. So I was just like really going with the flow and having fun of like, let me try this out. Let me try that out. Oh, that's cool. You know, and it just really went from there.
One of my favorite moments in our rewatch of your episode of Boy Meets World was the scene where you and I were in the library and we give each other the very vapid, phony hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
It made me laugh so much. And I was wondering, do you remember, I said when we did our rewatch of it, that I don't remember there being any sort of even discussion about what that would be. We both just knew immediately what that hello to each other was. And I was wondering, do you remember if it said anything in the script about like giving us a direction about the type of high, or do you remember rehearsing that at all?
I don't. I certainly remember that moment, but I think it was, yeah, just one of those kind of young high school things. Yeah. Hi. Yeah.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi. It's that one interaction. Your entire relationship was laid out in that one word.
That's
it was
right.
Great.
We are going to pretend to be nice to each other, but we don't really like each other. Yeah. And all we needed to say was hi, and you picked up on all of it.
That other moment that was so funny that my mom even remembered today when I told my folks I was going to be speaking to all of you. And she was like, oh, that's going to be so much fun. She said, there was that one moment, she said, I remember where the other actress looked up at you and was like, hey, I'm talking to you up there.
Yes. Yes, it was so funny. I remember it, that it's a cult favorite line of people.
Oh, really?
From that episode. Yeah. Yeah, it's something that people really like. They think it was really funny. And when we watched it, I was critical of my delivery of it. I was like, why did I say it like that? Why didn't I just deliver it more earnestly? But I put a spin on it. We were trying to remember if it was like a very specific line reading note I had been given, but people love it.
Yeah.
And people also love the way it was delivered. They thought, so, you know, it's funny
you
those things.
Up, that, I think in that moment too. And you wanted to get through to me. And that's why you were trying to talk to me way up there.
Way up there. Listen to me, lady. You're keep ignoring me because you can barely see me, which is just a funny, it's very funny. So then you came back to Boy Meets World in season 5 for First Girlfriends Club alongside Larissa Olenek and Lindsay McKeon. Do you remember coming back for that season 5 episode?
You know, it wasn't as clear to me as the first episode.
Yeah.
But in rewatching, man, there's some great stuff in there too. And Will, you and I even have a little moment there in the end.
Do we? Oh. Okay, I haven't seen it.
See, we haven't watched that yet. So I'm so good. But I definitely, it's a bonkers episode. I'm like handcuffed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like
handcuffed. It's like a full on, like,
You're handcuffed. And somehow in the end, like, Will and I and the other actor and like two other girls end up together. And Will kind of goes back and he like grabs the handcuffs and ducks out the side. It's really.
What?
I know. You probably couldn't do that now.
Right.
So funny.
Wow, that's so funny.
Yeah. Wow. Oh man, I can't wait till we get there.
Yeah, I want to get there. I want to see that one.
So before you came on to Boy Meets World, had you ever heard of the show? Did you know anything about it before you arrived on set for your episode that week?
Great question. I'm sure that I'd heard of it, but I wasn't that familiar with it.
Right.
I loved The Wonder Years with Fred Savage, and I knew Ben was in the show, and I was looking forward to working with him, and I, you know, knew people that loved it, but you know, then I got the firsthand experience, which felt better.
Yeah. So who was like, I think you had a pretty cool group of actor friends out here. Who was your crew?
Yeah. So I had done this independent film, my first film, when I was 16 in Connecticut. And I worked with Justin Whalen, who played kind of my love interest in the movie, and legendary Ed Asner.
Yes.
And, Justin became my first on-set boyfriend on my first movie. I guess I didn't waste any time there.
No,
first movie.
None of us did.
Weren't you together for a while? Because that's...
Yeah,
isn't that when we hung out, when it was you and Justin and Jason Marsden was with somebody, and we would all hang out together and go and do stuff?
Yeah,
that's what I remember. Right. I remember hanging out with you more off the set than we ever did on the set.
Until that second episode, we didn't really have anything in that first episode at all together.
Yeah.
So then when I ended up coming out here and getting the job and staying, because I'm like, all right, if I don't get the job, I don't want to be just another blonde out of work actress. I'm going to go back to New York and continue there. And then I ended up staying. So Justin and I then forged a relationship and, you know, bought a house together and stayed together for quite a while. Yeah.
Do you remember where in Connecticut you shot? I'm from Connecticut, so I'm just curious if you remember where you shot.
You know what? It was Loomis Chafee School.
Which is where my entire family went to school.
Okay.
My mom went to Chafee back in the day when it wasn't even Loomis Chafee. Then both my brothers graduated from Loomis. They shot a movie at Loomis? That's so funny. Yeah,
They did. It was called Prep, and it was about a boys, I guess it was just, or maybe just in the movie, it was just a boys' school at one point, like in the 60s.
It was. Loomis was the boys' school, and Chafee was the girls' school, and they combined them later and became Loomis Chafee.
Okay, gotcha. So it was the director had written something, I think, loosely inspired by his experience there when he was younger, when it was just a boys' school, and there was, you know, kind of a 60s racial thing going on, and music bringing people together. It was cute.
At Loomis. So we've talked about Boy Meets World. Great show. Awesome. Great. We all love it. Fantastic. Can we please talk about Terminator?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Can we please talk about Terminator? Boy Meets World's awesome, but you were the Terminator.
What
Can we talk
a job.
About that, please?
Oh my
so
gosh.
So cool.
Thanks. You know what? I remember when I came back to do Girl Meets World, and I saw Danielle and Ryder, and you guys said that you were so excited for me when I got the job, and I was so touched by that. I was like, oh, really? Like, somehow that was really surprising and to me. So that was an incredible experience and opportunity, and I worked my butt off for sure.
I'm sure that was a huge shoot, and you're like
so
in
physical.
So much of it. It's so
physical.
Oh my God,
yeah,
it's so
it
cool.
Was, it was kind of the role, I think, that you know, in the beginning of my career, people sometimes didn't really know how to cast me because I'm 5'11", I have a deeper voice. You know, there's even like a couple of, that's what I noticed, like references in the show then to even like my size and my voice and everything. And when this audition came around, I was like, oh, this is it. I just knew that none of the constraints mattered and actually worked to my advantage.
Yeah.
And I had been such a fan of Robert Patrick in T2.
Yep.
I was just so blown away by his performance and, you know, just his elimination of human qualities in that. who I actually got to work with years later. He's become a good friend of mine.
Oh, that's so cool.
But I just knew it was going to be the right fit. And it was. So it was really special. And then I got into the best physical shape of my life. I had a weight trainer. I had a nutritionist. Yeah. I did Krav Maga, Israeli martial arts. I worked with a mime coach. With weapons training with the LAPD. I put on about 15 pounds of muscle mass, and I got my body fat down to that of an Olympic athlete.
Oh, yes. Man.
I really went for it. And, you know, a lot of people said, who is this young woman who's going to take on this iconic image of cinema history, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to really prove to myself and to everyone that, you know, I had it within me. And I think, you know, having the dance background and knowing the physicalities and knowing how to really work like from the inside out really helped overall with that job.
What was the audition process like? Did you have to do a fight scene to audition? Besides reading lines, what was it like?
Well, because there aren't really any lines. You've got like a couple lines in the entire film. So how are you?
Yeah, there's a few. Most of everything is conveyed through physicality. So... it was a very physical audition. It was probably about a 10 audition process.
Oh my gosh.
Brutal. I know, every action's just like, dude.
That's hell. Oh.
I know. Thank you. Yeah. Oh. So it was a lot of like running and jumping and falling and getting up and looking and moving and, you know, it was very physical. And Jonathan, the director, would say to me once we got on set, you know, like, just go do that Terminator thing.
Turn on the Terminator.
Yeah. You know, after all the physical training that I'd done within myself to really feel like I could embody that and working, you know, with the mind coach and, you know, working against different internal energies. I mean, some of it was very esoteric to really create the end result. But it was a wonderful, incredible process. And then having the opportunity to really showcase the film on a worldwide stage like that. It was incredible.
How long a shoot was it?
100 days.
Wow.
And it was a gigantic film. Like we're talking big budget.
I remember one of the stories about that was one of the biggest set pieces in the film is the truck scene where the two trucks are going back and forth and you and Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting back and forth. And it went way over budget and they said, we're not going to pay for this. And Schwarzenegger said, I'll pay for it. And he paid for the entire section of the film out of his own pocket because he loved the scene so much that he refused to cut it. So they shot for, what was it, like 3 or 4 days of just the truck scene. And it cost him millions of dollars of his own money because it's like, we can't lose this scene.
Yeah, so. I was in a crane, actually.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Yeah,
so cool.
And it was the largest budgeted film to date when they made the film. It was $250 million. When I read that chase scene, I mean, it was just like I was turning page after page after page. I'm like, it's still going. It was like a 10
weeks of your life. Yep.
Yeah.
Did you drive the truck?
Well, here's what they did. So they had switched the steering on the crane, the Champion crane, to the other side. So there was a stunt driver on the other side, but I was on the side where people would normally be driving on the left side. But a crane is totally different. Driving a crane is different than driving a semi truck, you know? Jeez. So. It was a really incredible experience for sure.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I have to imagine, even with a resume like yours at the time and how confident you were as a person, being the new Terminator in a movie of that size, that budget, that kind of world stage had to have been extremely scary and intimidating. How did you keep it all together? What did you have a therapist? Did you like how were you keeping it all together?
You know, I think I'm just one of these people that really thrives under pressure. Like I really enjoy it. Like I really love a good challenge. I love proving myself and testing myself and really seeing how far I can go. So it just felt kind of strangely natural for me in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Wow.
So I had to get a therapist later, of course, but
I know that we could spend an entire podcast talking about this, and frankly, I would love to because it's so in my wheelhouse, but being on such a special effects driven film, how much of the effects, I mean, it's a stupid question, but how much of the effects were practical? Like, how much did you have to actually mime out while you were there compared to things where they're like, no, we just do that later by computer?
It's a great question. And at the time, Matrix 2 and then 3, they'd shot them together, were coming out. And so we were really on par, believe it or not, with them for practical shots and also special effects. But we shot as much as we possibly could practically at the time, because, you know, you're just going to get something better if someone's actually doing it. Of course, not to the nth degree where you're going to get completely smashed and beat up, but we really shot a lot of it practically.
Yeah, I mean, back then that you had to too. I mean, like the technology. What I mean now, it's like in the Marvel universe, it's just
you're in a green room.
You're in a green room. Yeah. But I feel like back then you still had to actually do it.
Yeah.
And so from that time on, is then every offer you got for action movies, did you just became like the go-to action movie star from that point on?
Well, thank you. I did a lot of action after that. And I think, again, because of course, the film and having the dance background and learning fight and stunt choreography for me was a lot like learning a dance routine. So even though the body positioning was different, you know, I found myself, you know, working with Tony Ching from House of Flying Daggers and you know, doing wire work with the Cirque du Soleil troupe. And I'm like, I'm like kind of a 6-foot Tinkerbell or something. It was hilarious. Some of these things, you know, weren't exactly natural for me, but I did it. And, you know, I think also just having, broad shoulders and an athletic frame. And, you know, I'm an athletic person in general. Like, I'm an open ocean swimmer. I'm an avid skier. Jeez. You know, I'm an equestrian. Wow. I do, you know, long distance endurance. I mean, I love kind of that excitement and extreme kind of sport background. So doing all of that for me was exciting. And, you know, doing a lot of, you know, work with fencing and weaponry and, you know, whether it's double bladed axes or swords.
It's my dream.
Like, no. Don't you ever just look around and you're like, this is my job. I get paid to work with double bladed axes. It's so cool.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing you to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Summer is steadily approaching, and you know what that means.
Wearing a shirt at the beach so I don't look like a sad radish for the entire vacation?
Okay, maybe.
Being thirsty?
Yes, Ryder, you got it. It is time to go outside and bask in the glory that is sunshine with barbecues and hikes and trips to exotic locations.
With your shirt on?
Yes, with your shirt on.
It is time to jump into a camper van with your son and your wife and
torture everyone. Well, with all these summer activities, it's so important that you stay hydrated.
And we're here to tell you all about Liquid IV. It has three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick.
It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
You just rip open a packet and pour it into your water and bam, you're hydrating with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. But most importantly, it tastes good.
It's so easy and perfect after a workout, which I do to replenish after a nice long run.
And you can travel with Liquid IV right there in your pocket. Add it to a water on a flight or after a big night when you need just a little assistance to get up in the morning.
Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. And with sugar-free flavors like white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime, you can't miss.
Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV.
Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com.
So I know Will is also thinking this question, so I'm going to ask it for him. What's it like working with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Jean-Claude Van Damme, such a legend. I know we all grew up watching his films.
Yeah.
And, it was really an awesome experience working with him. He's very kind-hearted. But I will have you know that in this film, I play his love interest at Darkness of Man. I don't do any action, actually.
Oh.
So it is a neo-noir thriller with a substantial amount of action. I don't know. Maybe in part two, there'll be a surprise there. He was great.
Is this out yet? Is it coming out soon?
May 21st.
Okay, great.
Wow, exciting.
Soon. That's awesome. Yeah.
There's nothing like a Van Damme movie. I mean, there really is nothing like a Van Damme movie. It's like a Seagal movie. They've got this kind of just character to them that are so wonderful that
he really brings the action. I mean, for him, and I think, you know, being a kickboxer and having that kind of training, it'll be muscle memory for him forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he was a champion.
Yeah.
So it's there, and he's in incredible shape, and yeah, just a really kind-hearted individual. Mm-hmm.
The video of him. Have you guys seen the video of him between the trucks? Have you seen
with the splits?
With the splits.
Oh, the splits. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I know that one. Ryder, have you seen this?
No.
It's amazing.
He's just, there's two trucks next to each other, like two rigs driving next to each other, and they have these little platforms on him. He's standing between the two rigs, and then they slowly just start to pull out until he's just in a perfect split as these trucks are driving down. It's insane. Crazy. It's insane.
Crazy.
I want to ask you about your stunt team, because this is something that I'm always fascinated by. Have you had a consistent stunt actor that you've worked with or a team that you've worked with?
Yeah, Elisa Hensley is a stunt double that is not only an incredible talent, but a wonderful person and a dear friend.
Cool.
And she doubled me on T3 And then it just kind of went from there. We worked together on various projects. And, you know, the stunt people that I've had the opportunity to work with, and I'm now so glad that there are awards to celebrate them.
Finally.
Yes.
They really need recognition.
Unsung heroes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what they put themselves through, it's like, you know, obviously they make all of us look good, and they're really out there, you know, putting their lives on the line. And I mean, I've seen so much that also goes wrong. And it's just an incredibly harrowing job. So I've worked with just an amazing amount of talent in the stunt team.
Yeah. They're like, they're the equivalent in politics of the speechwriter. Where it's like they do a ton of the work, they take none of the credit. There's a rule where you don't take the credit. It's like it's not about us, but they're doing all the work. Unbelievable, and it's about time that they're getting their due, which is they're phenomenal.
So, and you have a son named Thor, right?
I sure do. Yes, I do.
And so, how old is he? And is he into anything in the entertainment industry? What would you want him to be? Does he know how cool it is that his mom is the Terminator?
Well, Thor is 7 3/4, if you ask.
Okay.
Even a little more now. You know, I don't really see him being in front of a camera. He's very different than me in that regard. He did get up on stage and do his school play, a little reluctantly at first, but he's up there. And now he's kind of helping the other kids. So he's being a little more confident there. And, you know, he sees pictures around the house, you know, where Mama is half Mama, half robot. We haven't. I'm also kind of one of these parents, ironically, given my profession, who doesn't do screens with my son. He has really kind of no idea. Like, I tell him I play pretend for my job and I create characters, and I've described that to him. And for his play, I was so giddy that I was actually like running lines with him. And then he starts giving me direction. He's like, no, Mama, no. You gotta read it like this. So I think if anything, he'd be a director, you know?
Yeah, right.
So that was fun.
What was his school play?
It was
Terminator 3.
It was a mashup, and it was Frozen of Oz.
Oh, cool.
That's a cool. I like that mashup. Yeah. That makes sense.
And then they did Pinocchio. You know, we've got to be very PC here. So
nice. Okay.
Female Pinocchio. Yeah.
Female Pinocchio. Okay. Finally, almost 30 years since appearing on our little show and going on to have such a fun and rewarding career, what would you want to tell teenage Kristanna back in 1996?
You know, I guess if I had to do it again, I've had a lot of wanderlust in my life. And I think things might have been a little bit different for me if I did a mini series in South Africa. Fell absolutely in love with the country. I bought a house there. I became a permanent resident.
Wow.
I went on to produce and star in another film there. But I think perhaps if I hadn't spent quite so much of my time gallivanting around Africa, maybe things would have been a little different. But you know what? I got a lot out of that experience too. Yeah. And I think we can all relate as getting into the business as a youngster. Yeah. Like, there was a part of me that really needed that separation. Like, I needed to be far away, too, from my own reflection and grounding and perspective, I think, in life. So it was a balance. It was a trade-off.
Yeah, I think there's so many actors that sit around in L.A. going to the gym and waiting for the phone to ring. You know, like, I think it's great. That's probably helped your career, even though it took a lot of your time. I think living for other places and other experiences that can only enrich your artistry, you know?
That's true. Yeah. Thanks.
How long did you live there?
I had the home there for 10 years.
Wow, it's so cool. I've never been. I want to go.
Back and forth. I had my base here in LA, but between jobs, I would go there quite a bit.
Wow, that's so cool.
I know. And I love that big map behind you. You can tell you are.
She's pinning it. She's got all the different spots.
I do. I have all my pins in there. I'm like citizen of the world. Yeah.
Great.
That's
amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for being willing to come back and spend this time with us, reliving some of those fun moments from that amazing 2 weeks, I guess, we spent with you between season 4 and season 5 episodes. But you are such a cool addition to the Boy Meets World lore and legacy. Mm-hmm. And we're honored to talk to you today. So thank you for coming back and spending time with us. Please give us a plug for your movie. Tell us about the premiere May 21st. Tell us everything you can about that and where we can see it.
Yeah, well, thanks, Danielle. And I just want to say, too, thanks to you guys. Like, I can't believe when you say 2 weeks, because I felt like I really spent more time with you all because you were you've made such a lasting impact in my life and on my career and in my mind and positive memories. And, you don't always have that on the jobs that you do, the people that you work with. So it's a real testament to the culture that you created. On the show. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Tell us about the movie.
There too.
Oh yeah.
Behind you. So I've actually got 4 movies coming up.
Wow. 4? Come on.
Darkness of Man is the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. That comes out on digital May 21st.
Right.
And the trailer is available online so people can find that. Then I've got a film that I produced, my company Trio Entertainment, called Vice and Virtue, which is an ensemble dramedy about two celestial beings that come down to planet Earth and impose this judgment day on about half a dozen people that find themselves in an undisclosed location. So it's overnight. And it's really a story about choices. And for me, during COVID, when we're all sitting at home staring our choices in the face, do you go there? Do you not go there? Do you see this person? Do you not see this person? It really impacted me. So I was inspired to make Vice and Virtue and how certain choices lead us down one path and other choices take us in a different direction.
Yeah, cool.
So Vice and Virtue will be out later this year. We're doing the festival circuit now. And then there's a film called Dark Night of the Soul, which is a survival film. It's kind of my 127 hours.
Nice.
Oh, so disturbing. Do you cut off your arm? You don't cut off your arm, do you?
No, but there are some gruesome moments.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My character has a high position at the CDC. It's during a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Beginning of the film, she gets into a car accident. She gets pinned under the car. Ooh. So it's inspired by a poem, Dark Night of the Soul, which essentially is about a person staring their dark night in the face. Do they have the will to survive and to pull through, or do they feel like they've done all that they need to do and let themselves go into the next phase of the act?
Wow.
So that is Dark Night of the Soul with Martin Cove. He plays my father.
Oh, cool.
And then last but certainly not least is a film called No Address. And No Address is written by and directed by a dear friend of mine, Julia Verdon. Some of you may know her. She seems to know everybody. And she got on a tour bus with a homeless expert. She went to 17 different cities and interviewed people from the homeless community. And inspired from their stories, she wrote a scripted feature. There's also a documentary that's going to be coming out in tandem. And it's to really underscore the plight of homelessness in America and the crisis in which we are all facing. In LA, we have the largest in-city homeless community, 60,000 people. I mean, that's the size of a city in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So No Address is really a story about a handful of people that find themselves in their journey of homelessness and how we're all truly just a few steps away from becoming homeless ourselves. And so my character, I have family, I have a son who's 10, and my husband played by Billy Baldwin. And it's, you know, we are one of the vignettes of our journey to homelessness. So Noah wow. Dreft will be out there with you as well.
Wow. Thank you so much for telling us all of that, sharing those with us. They all sound amazing.
Yeah, they really do.
I want to see all of them.
I want to see all four of us thinking the same thing. I want to break it up. I think I want to go to the homeless movie first because I think that's important, but then followed right by Van Damme. Because it's Van Damme. So that's awesome. And then, yeah, we'll go. Yeah. Okay.
Kristana, thank you so much for being here with us. A joy to see you. And I hope to see you again. I hope it's not another almost 10 years.
No, I do too. And, you know, it's been such a blast from the past. I feel like, you know, I didn't get to go to a high school reunion, as you all probably didn't either, you know, growing up on set. But I feel like this is like the closest I could have to it. So thanks for keeping it alive.
Thank you so much. It was great to see you.
Good luck to all of you. Great to see you.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Man, she's so smart and so cool and just like everything I want to be.
What a career. Oh, man. It's just Schwarzenegger, Van Damme. I mean, like, again, if she's holding a lightsaber at one point, she is living my dream. It's just so cool.
So cool. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm really excited that we got to reconnect with her and hear that she's still up to it. Like, man, age has got nothing on her. She's still just being a badass.
Yeah. She's talked about open ocean swimming and long distance. Yeah. I was tired halfway through all the things she was
just
talking about.
Just the list of the things that she does.
Exactly.
I know. We need to get back to karate, Will.
Yeah, we do. Immediately.
Thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
I'll be merch.
Podmeetsworldshow.com. Writer, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Wilfred L., and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit tomboyx.com to shop.